All right, if you'll be turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Well, if you were somebody who showed up this morning not too excited, just this is what we do on Sundays, so let's get ready. Let's go. Hope you're feeling better about it. I hope you're feeling better about it. To be reminded today of Jesus holding his hand out to us. To be reminded of how much he loves us and how much he provides for us. And just to be able to sing and have our hearts open to the fact that the Lord is at our side. Because if he wasn't, we wouldn't make it. We wouldn't get through it. It's a good day to be a child of God. It's a good day to be a child of God. And Bill said every day, if you didn't catch him. Unfortunately, we don't appreciate it every day. So, today, I'm going to be reminded. I'm going to be reminded. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you're here. It's our songs are better as we lift him up together. Our prayers are powerful when our hearts are joined together with the same purpose. So let's go to our Father in prayer and let's hear from his word today. Our Father in heaven, we praise your name. And Lord, we come to you confessing our lack of faith. We come to you just giving you what we've withheld. Our trust, our hope, our tired, our broken. Father, we give these things to you. Because you have given us the gift of your Son. You have given us the sacrifice that paid the debt that we owed to you because of our sins. And Father, you have given us hope. You've given us the resurrection of your Son. And you have given us eternal promise that we will be able to follow the footsteps of Jesus all the days of our life into our sleep. And be woken with him at his voice to never sleep again. Father, we praise your name. We are grateful for the day. And we ask, Lord, as we live for you, as we are filled with your Spirit, that we will be a proper temple and synagogue and dwelling place for your presence. You've forgiven us of our sins. We've been washed clean. But I pray, Father, that our lives will be those of faith and trust so that your power will be seen working in us and through us so that we can truly fulfill the purposes that you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Church, this morning we're going to talk about the difference between surviving and thriving. Surviving and thriving. Because way too often, you and I get stuck surviving. And you know what surviving feels like. I mean, you're still here. You're surviving. But everything you got going on just feels about neck deep. Everything you got going on that if one more thing happened, that might be the thing that just washes over me and I'm done. That's surviving. And at different times in our life, different things will hit us, and it's all we have to survive. At different periods of our life, different chapters, different experiences, and different things we go through, it's all we have to survive. But God has called us to something more. God has called us to thrive. God has called us not just to tread water. God has not called us just to live with just all of life just feeling like it's just right here, that it could overwhelm us at any moment. Now, God calls us to his victory. And the way that you and I will thrive in our lives is that we work towards a goal. The difference between just surviving, because surviving is I'm treading water and life is just hitting me in the face. And whatever happens today, oh, yep, there we go, crashes against us. Oh, here's something else. But to thrive is to push forward. To push forward. And when we do, when we live our lives in that way, then the waves that crash against us, they're not as high. In fact, they start to feel just knee deep. Not that big a deal. We got a place to go. We know where we're going, and we've got the energy and the faith to get there. So that's where our story takes us today. I did want to start in Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul writes, starting in verse 17, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Persevere. Persevere. Pushing forward. Praying. Keeping alert. Looking for ways and opportunities and people to share the gospel with. Church, what we've seen in the book of Acts is the early church and these disciples, and really where we've been for quite a while in the last half of Acts, is just walking with the Apostle Paul and just seeing him persevere and push forward and have a goal, and nothing taking him to the left or the right, nothing deterring him from that goal, nothing taking him away from his purpose. And see, the amazing thing, and what we're going to see, what Paul says today in Acts, is his story kind of mirrors the story of Jesus. And that is, Paul says, I've got to get to Jerusalem. Today's story, he's saying, I've got to get to Jerusalem. Now, you'll remember there's somebody else in the Bible who had that purpose, that he had to get to Jerusalem. In fact, we'll go back. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, our prime example, is Jesus Christ himself. And he tells his followers in the 16th chapter of Matthew, go down to verse 21. Matthew 16, 21, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.'" Just as the Holy Spirit is directing us towards a goal, and we keep that goal in mind above all things, obstacles seem to lessen and wash away. You know, when life gets about here, we've lost sight of our goal. Because if our eyes were fixed on the goal and it was this deep, you know what we'd be doing? We'd be swimming. We'd still be pushing. We'd still be moving forward. God did not create us to exist just treading water, just staying still. Because that's when you feel the effects of the waves. You're just standing still. You're looking around. same guy that Jesus calls Satan. You remember Peter stepping out of the boat? Jesus is walking along. I mean, he didn't let it get up to here, right? He's just walking on top of it. Doesn't bother him at all. And when they see him, Peter says, well, Lord, if it really is you, command me, and I'll come out and walk with you. Jesus says, sure thing. You got the faith to follow me? Let's go. And he does. And he does. And he's looking at Jesus, and I can imagine that that would be pretty exciting. And yet we know from the story what happened, right? When he, what did Peter do? He saw, he took his eyes off of Jesus. That's right. He saw the waves and the storm. He saw the waves and the storm. He saw everything going on around him. And you can't see everything going on around you while you're looking at Jesus. If you're looking at Jesus, all you see is Jesus. When you take your eyes off of Jesus, you stop looking at Jesus and you start looking at your problems. What do you see? Your problems. And when you start looking at your problems, what starts to happen? You start to drown. That's right. That's right. Jesus here in Matthew chapter 16 says, here's where I have to go. Here's my purpose. Here's my goal. This is what it looks like. Now, imagine the faith of Jesus, and I know there are some doubters in this room this morning that go, well, I mean, he knew how it would go. He knew how it would end. So he could endure all that. He knew exactly where he came from, and he knew what God had done for him, and he knew that, you know, it didn't matter if they killed him because Jesus was, or excuse me, the Father was going to bring him back to life. So, you know, what do you believe? Do you believe in your own resurrection? Do you believe that the Father is going to restore you after however many days you have or whatever storms you have to endure? Do you believe that the Father is going to restore you and let you walk with His Son? Yeah, Jesus believed. He knew. He knew, but he still had to go through it, didn't he? And you know how he accomplished it? He didn't focus on the suffer many things and be killed part. Because if we focus on the suffering, if we take our eyes off of him, off of our goal, then we are going to drown. Or we'll just barely survive, just choking on some seawater. And say, well, you know, I'm surviving. That's a miserable existence. To be made to thrive and settle to survive. It is a desperate and horrible existence for you and I to come here week after week and day after day and sing these songs. And partake of the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And say, Lord, we believe. And we get to work tomorrow and all we can say is, well, help my unbelief. I got nothing. That's a bad place to be. And I'm not saying that out of judgment. I'm just saying out loud what from time to time we experience. That's not a fun place to be. That's not a fun place to be to just live our lives in two separate states. The state of we're here and it's all good and it's all exciting, or we're here but yeah, I'm not really here. Why? You got some place else to be? You got something better to do with your time? You got something eternal somewhere else that you're, you know, withholding from the rest of us? What do you got? See, the hope that we have here today, this morning, that same hope is available to us tomorrow and Tuesday and however many days He gives us. What's changed? My eyes and what I'm looking at. That's it. That. So that's why Paul says back in Ephesians 6, he says, pray at all times. Pray at all times so that you can persevere. God wants us to thrive. God wants His will to be done. God wants us to follow the example of Jesus. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they persecute me. It doesn't matter if I have to suffer. It doesn't matter if they kill me. Because where I'm going is beyond that. My finish line is not there where the worst they can do is end my life. My finish line is beyond that. And so Jesus tells his disciples, we are moving forward. This thing is moving forward. Church, the Christian life was not made to be, okay, well, you know, I said some things, I did some things, and now I can sit here and wait for things. That's a miserable place to be. That's where a lot of our misery comes from. But Jesus is moving forward. You and I are moving forward. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is moving forward. So let's turn over to Acts chapter 20, where we are in the story. In Acts chapter 20, Paul has the goal of making it to Jerusalem. He's faced a lot of persecution. God has rescued him from a lot of persecution. And now he's moving along. Acts chapter 20, we'll start in verse 1. After the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. When he had gone through these regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months, and when a plot was made against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Sopater, the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. Now on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered, and a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. And being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and bent over him, and taking him in his arms, said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." And when Paul had gone up and had broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long while until daybreak, and so departed. And they took the youth away alive and were not a little comforted. But going ahead to the ship, we set sail for Assos, intending to take Paul aboard there, for so he had arranged, intending himself to go by land. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and went to Mytilene. And sailing from there, we came the following day opposite Chios. The next day we touched at Samos, and the day after that we went to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. All right, so at the first part of this, the first 6 verses, we get a lot of details about Paul's travels, how long he stays, and we get information about his travel companions. His travel companions, he's got 7 of them. You know the importance of 7. That's kind of an important number. And they are Gentile Christians. So he's got all these followers, and he goes, okay, well, it's about to be a Jewish high holiday, so he sends them on ahead so that he can go celebrate Passover with Jewish Christians. So he's got them going, and he goes back, and he's going through all of these things. And then in verse 7, we get this story. he's in a home. Now, this is, Acts chapter 20, this is where we get a lot of what we do. They're together on the first day of the week. It wouldn't have been, 10:30 in the morning. It would have been in the evening time. So the early church started meeting on the first day of the week, which, again, is why we're here today. They're together, they're breaking bread, and they're listening to the teaching. Now, I don't know about you, But if there was anything that might cause a worship service to be disrupted, it might be this story, right? Yeah. I mean, if anything is going to disrupt us or get us out of what we're doing, it may be somebody falling out of a window. Now, granted, we're not in an upper room. We're ground level. But if someone fell out of a window, because you can imagine this scene, they're breaking bread. They are partaking of communion. They are celebrating the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul is talking. He's preaching. He's conversing with them. They're asking questions. They're talking together. They're working these things out. And one of these young men, he's sitting in the window because all these lamps are burning, and you can imagine it's been going on for a while. It's warm. It's smoky. He's trying to, you know, catch a little bit of the cool night air. Just getting a little bit of that. And he falls asleep. And he falls out the window. And he dies. Well, I mean, naturally, okay, we'll take five. They go down. He's dead. And God gives the power for resurrection. God gives the power of resurrection. Paul said, yeah, his life's in him. He's good. So they get him back, and what do? Well, Paul, I mean, I guess we went as long as we could. That's a good time to offer the invitation. We already got one that came forward or came down. I don't know. But that's not what happens, is it? No. They persevere. They keep moving forward. Paul keeps talking. He keeps teaching. He has limited time. He's moving on. This is the chance that he has with these believers to encourage, to instruct, to answer their questions of how to follow Jesus faithfully, to understand what God is doing in this world, to be encouraged together with everybody else there. And it wasn't a matter of, well, when are we getting out of here? It was a matter of, this doesn't have to end, does it? That's different from us. We do our thing and we go live our lives. But they had this opportunity with Paul. And even when someone dies, they're not stopping things. They're going right back to it. Now, this is an amazing story. But it really does paint a bigger picture of what is truly important, and that is the perseverance. That is looking back and being reminded that Paul is going to make his way to Jerusalem. He has a goal. He has a purpose. Now, we know from, specifically some of his other letters, this time that Paul's doing these travels, this is a time when Paul was writing a few of his letters specifically to Corinth. And then also, it's believed that he wrote the book of Ephesians in this time right around Acts chapter 20. Also, do you remember why Paul was, anybody know why Paul was wanting to go to Jerusalem? Like he had a goal, a reason why he was going there. From 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul was going to Jerusalem because he was taking a collection. He was gathering money from Gentile Christians to share with Jewish Christians. And so he is just kind of hanging out in this area. He's visiting, encouraging churches. He's building people up, and he is collecting money to take to some of the poorer Christians to share with them. Now, this would have been a very big deal, because we've talked all about the Gentile and the Jewish, the lines of delineation and the things that separated them culturally. But this was a very big deal that Paul was wanting to do, not just to help these Jewish believers in Christ in meeting their physical needs, but he wanted them to know, hey, these are your Gentile brothers and sisters who love you enough to share what God has given to them. And so he is collecting all of these things, and he wants to get this to present this gift to them. If you want to read more about that, he describes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So we've got this, back in Acts chapter 20, we've got this amazing miracle. And we have Paul going right back and persevering through this disruption. Now, church, this is, again, here's what I hope that we take from this. As we saw in Jesus not being deterred, even when it was one of his closest friends that said, no, Jesus, you don't have to go through with it. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to be that faithful. What was Jesus' response to even Peter? He called him Satan. You were getting in the way. Hey, I want you to try something, okay? The next time, real simple, okay? Real simple. We can all relate to it. The next time you're not feeling 100, would it kill us to not show? I mean, is the world going to fall apart if we don't go? I want you to recognize whose voice that is. I want you to recognize the ways that the enemy just gets in there and goes, no. Make it easy. Make it easy on yourself. You're doing too much. You're doing too much. You don't have to go through all that. You can take your eye off the goal. Church, what does the enemy want for us? The enemy wants us to take our eyes off the goal. The enemy wants for us to take our eyes off the goal because he knows if we can take our eyes off of Jesus, if we can take our eyes off of our own resurrection, if we can take our eyes off of the finish line, it does not take but once or twice or just a little bit of energy before you and I are trucking in another direction. It doesn't take much. We are simple creatures. We are simple creatures. What did Jesus say when he came to Israel in his earthly ministry? I mean, he called them sheep, right? I feel sorry for them. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They're all just running around. I mean, they don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what truly feeds. They don't know what truly sustains them. I feel sorry for them. And so he came and directed them and showed them where life was, to show them who they need to be listening to and who they need to be following. So the next time you hear that little voice that says, it's really not that important, you can skip it. The next time when you're given an opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus and that little voice that says, they won't listen, you need to recognize that voice. You need to recognize that voice, and you need to be as serious as Jesus is with Peter. That is the voice of Satan, and I don't need to be listening to it. Because who's going to tell you, hey, don't share the gospel with that person? Who's going to say that? Is that our Lord and Savior? Is our Lord and Savior going to whisper in your ear, now don't talk about Jesus in this situation, that might get sticky? Is our Lord and Savior going to tell you, whisper in your ear, not to mention his name when giving thanks for something good in your life? Jesus recognized the voice of the enemy. It's time you and I recognize the voice of the enemy. Because when we listen to the enemy's voice too much, we're still going to come here and play our religious games. And you know what that feels like? Treading water. Surviving. But at any moment, one of these waves might cover me up. That's not what we're made for. We're not made for treading water. We're not made to stay in place. We're not made to have the same faith. What is this, December? What was the date again, Cassie? Thank you. Today's December 14th, if anyone else was not aware. I was not aware. Another story. Is your faith on December 14th the same as it was December 1st? Is your faith December of 2025? Is our faith today the same as it was December 2024? Are we treading water? Are we any closer to our Lord and Savior? Or have we drifted further? What are we doing? What are we doing? And I love this story about Paul because, you know, some people will read this and go, oh, well, that's amazing. Paul goes down and, you know, this poor kid, he falls out of the window and he dies and Paul brings him back to life. Well, actually, the Lord brings him back to life. And so it is a story about death and resurrection. But more importantly is Paul's nonchalance to what's going on. That's not the point. The point is that people need to know about the resurrection that we are all moving forward to. And so Paul says, I've got a goal. I got to get to Jerusalem. I've got it in front of me. Life is better when you got something to look forward to, isn't it? Anybody have any scheduled days off in the next couple weeks? Yeah. Anybody excited about it? Thank you. Yes. What do we look forward to? Holiday? Vacation? We can get excited about that, right? But what's that like? Do you got a little extra energy for these next 2 weeks? Like, yeah, there's a lot I got to get done. There's a lot I got to get done before I can get to that goal. Or do you just go, oh, I don't even want to be here. I wish Christmas was tomorrow. How do you live it? How do you live it? That's what we have to look at. Are we just sitting here going, oh, you know, everything's so bad. Everything's so awful. If the Lord could just show up and just rescue me from all this, I'll be sitting here waiting. Miserable and complaining until he shows up and says, oh, I'm so excited to get you. I just can't imagine how you're going to brighten the place up. Is that his reaction to picking you up? Or are you and I working towards that goal, saying all my energy and all my heart and everything I got, I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to sing in his presence. I mean, I'm just, yeah. How are we living? Or, you know, do you and I just let one dead kid make us lose our focus? I think it's pretty safe to say you and I don't even need that serious of an event to occur. And we're just like, nah, I guess we'll go this way now. We'll put our energy over here. We'll put our focus over here. Ethan read for us from Revelation chapter 3. Jesus writes to the church in Philadelphia. He says, look, there has been a door and it is opened in front of you. There has been a door opened in front of you. And church, that open door is open to all of us. That open door is open for all of us. We have to have the faith to enter in. We have to have the faith to enter in. And so he said there in Revelation chapter 3, he says, I am proud of your patient endurance. I am proud of how you are enduring difficulties around you and not just sitting there, but actually going through the opportunity that's been placed before him. In fact, this church in Philadelphia that Jesus writes to, Revelation chapter 3, they were focused on Jesus coming. Their hearts, their minds, their energies were focused on his return, his appearing. And that empowered them to not get distracted by the enemy. He said, you're persevering. You're persevering. I put a door right in front of you. And you are not just hanging on, but you're working towards something. Because when we have faith, when we keep our eyes on our Lord and Savior, when we realize that we do have a goal. And look, if our goal is just, my goal is just get the kids out of the house. Just get to retirement. Or just get to, that position. Or, right? I mean, if that's your ultimate goal, we're missing it. We're missing it. Lesser goals lower our eyes and make us less. I'll celebrate a goal that we met a goal yesterday. Garrett graduated from college yesterday. He had to go to his graduation. It was wonderful. And that was a goal. That was a goal for us. We're like, yay! He finished. I don't know if you ever had a kid in college. It gets expensive. And this guy got the bill the last 4 years. So, okay, I'll tell the story. So Garrett finished his school in summer, right? And his wife, she finished this week. So they're both walking. And they're both graduating, so they can't be each other's escorts. And when you graduate from college with your bachelor's degree, you get an escort. Someone that you know and love, and they sit behind you, and they put your little thing on, all the pomp and circumstance. And so Garrett's like, I don't even know if I want to go. Yeah, yes, you are. You're going. He goes, well, Dad, you want to be my escort? I said, yes, I want to be your escort. I absolutely do. Escorts get to wear this white robe. He really wanted me to preach in it this morning. I'm not. He wanted me to. I said, yes, I want to escort you. And if you've ever met Garrett, Garrett has a hard time getting excited about some things. And I stopped him. We were in the rehearsal and we were getting ready yesterday morning. And I stopped him and I said, look, bud, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. This is a goal. This is a milestone. Today is an important day. I'm very proud of you and the work that you put in and what you've accomplished and where you've gotten. This is a big deal. And I could tell it kind of hit him to realize. And I said, this is a big deal because starting in January, you're paying for your own car insurance. So it may be a bigger deal to me. But I impressed upon him, this is a big deal. And church, we got to live like that. Today's a big deal. Today's a big deal. Every day that we are given with our Lord and Savior, that's a big deal. Because you and I settle. You and I settle for just letting life hit us. And it just feels like defeat because we can't get ahead or we can't catch a breath or we can't get a day off or we don't have any energy or we're just tired or whatever it is. We spend too many days just surviving. When we thrive, we keep our eyes on Jesus and say, nothing short of seeing Him face to face, because only then will I be satisfied. That keeps us moving forward in the right direction. We'll meet our goal. We'll meet our goal. I want to close in the last book, the last chapter of the Bible. The last chapter of the Bible. It's before your concordance. Revelation 22. Because church, you and I have a door in front of us. And we have to persevere. Because that's the only way we will fulfill God's purposes for us. Take a look at Revelation chapter 22. And we'll just end with some good words in red. Revelation 22, let's go down to verse 6. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. The words of Jesus, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. There's how he chooses to finish it. A wonderful, great promise, a great encouragement. He is right there. He is right there, and he's looking at us. And from his vantage point, he is encouraging us. He is inviting us. And he is saying, here's where I am, and here's where I want you to be. If you're still in your sins, then you get washed clean in the waters of life. If you've stopped and you're just living, running in place, or you've taken a seat, it's time to persevere. It's time to thrive. Jesus calls us. It's happening soon. It's happening soon, so let's be ready. Let's be ready, and let's remember that our purpose, just like the purpose of Jesus, is to fulfill God's will. Our purpose, just like the purpose of Paul, is to fulfill God's will. He's given us enough to thrive. And he's given us the ministry. He's involved us and invited us to the ministry of sharing the good news with others around us. So, Jesus stands before us and he says, come.